Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Any insight on what the verse is saying, or open up the line?
The whole wisdom behind this proverb is to verses 1 through 3 is that you have to be cautious in the presence of folk that are in authority or in power, because sometimes they try to use you or manipulate you for their own gain. So you have to be careful who you hang out with. A lot of times people misuse their power on people, and you have to be very careful, because everybody doesn't have your best interests at heart. It's like a lot of times people will lead you on, and then, at the last minute, they'll pull the rug out from under you. Sort of like, we can compare this with the devices of Satan. He'll lead you on, have you feeling good, and then not tell you about the consequence of all that feeling good. And so we have to pray and ask God to lead, guide, and direct us, give us a spirit of discernment, so that when we're in the presence of someone who's offering you stuff, that we understand what their motives are. I know when I was growing up in the 1980s, I was growing up as a young man in high school. There was a lot of guys who were dealing with drugs, and they would, give you a free this or a free that or a free this, and they would want you to, go ahead and get high with them or hang out with them. But, ultimately they had something that they wanted to get from you, as far as running their drugs or, doing some of their dirty work. And it's all because they sucked you in with, this is how you can be rich and famous, have the women in the cars and all those things. But you have to be wise enough to not fall for that trap. And at the same time, man, that's all right. I'm not trying to get with that, But a lot of times they'll persuade you with those dainty things and all of that glitter and gold. And what we always say is everything that glitters isn't gold. And so, in this world, you have people that will take advantage of you. And so you have to be prayed up, and you have to make sure that you are discerning what people's motives are.
Amen, amen. Definitely agree with what you're saying there, Definitely have to watch out for certain things that go on and certain people that you hang around with. Is there any other comments on verses 1 through 3 before we move on? All right, then. So moving on to verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wing. They fly away as eagles toward heaven. Well, I definitely think that this verse, just is talking about riches, talking about, your money and everything. It's like, how every time you go to work and everything, and especially for me, once you get that check every week or every 2 weeks, sometimes certain things go on and, you think you'll be good and, you plan on doing certain things, and then sometimes you just won't even have a chance to even touch it. So it'll be gone by the time you even get finished with that day. Sometimes talking about our devices and stuff, and, certain things that we see in our eyes that we need, sometimes we don't need. And, certain things will happen, I think, to make you cherish or realize that, you don't need everything that you want. Sometimes you got to decide what you want at the end of the day and choose the right thing and know what's right from wrong and what you need versus what you want. That's what I think that talks about, especially when it talks about, eagles towards heaven, they fly away. As soon as you get it, it flies away. It talks about, the different proverbs that you know, ill-gotten riches won't last at all. So certain riches that you have, they'll be gone as soon as you get them sometimes. And sometimes it's for your good, and sometimes it just happens. That's the way I think about that. You guys have any comments on that?
Yeah, I think this is a good proverb to let you understand it's not good to focus on. That's all your focus is getting rich. You know, that's the way of the world, is just getting rich as far as dollars and cents. You know, to really understand that wisdom of God will let you know that some things you can't put a price tag on. You know, your relationship with God, you know, your relationship with your family, your relationship with your church family. Sometimes you can't put a price tag on certain things, and so you're better to focus on those things that are of God and not the things that are purchased by money, because your car lets you down, your house will let you down, and you know all of the things that you have, your games, video games, your music and clothes and all those things will perish. And, you know, the Bible talks about they'll get moths and rust and fall apart. But if you have faith in God, those things will last forever. The things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And so the wisdom is, no, don't focus so much on what you see and what money would do for you, but focus on the things of what are not seen, which is your faith, which is your relationship with God, your relationship with your family, your church family. Those type of things bring great value to you, even though they don't have a monetary denotation on them. But we've seen now through the years that that money will leave you real quick, and then a lot of times people hang around you for the wrong reason. They hang around for money, and as soon as the money runs out, you can't find them. They won't answer your phone, won't respond to a text, won't even talk to you on the street. So we need to focus not just on the wisdom of getting rich, but the wisdom on getting rich in God and the things of God.
Amen. That is right. You know, things, our physical things, not going to last. You know, and it's tough to realize that, you know, at the end of the day, we could be gone at any second. And what we're working for, our goal is for here on earth won't last. All right. Any more comments here? All right. If not, let's move to verse 6 through 8. It says, "Do not eat food of a begrudging host. Do not crave his delicacy. For he is the kind of person who is always thinking about the coats. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the little you have eaten and will have wasted your compliment." This, I think, is going back to what you were talking about earlier about, you know, how certain people, they don't have your best interest, and, you know, they always trying to get something out of you. You know, when we talked about the begrudging host and how it says, you know, it says his heart is not with you. That means that he's not, you know, there for you. He's there for his own gains, like you were talking about. And how this is that you'll even throw up and you won't have any more confidence for him. So it's, you know, you have to definitely be careful with certain people that you know, and you have to be wise about certain people that you hang out with and choose to have as your friends. And you have to see them, you know, for who they are. And, you know, certain times, I think, you know, sometimes even with me, you know, being in high school and stuff, you know, you want to hang out with the cool kids and everything, but, you know, certain things that happen, you know, just isn't for you. certain people that you hang out for, you know, they might be cool, but at the end of the day, they're in it for themselves and not you. That's what I definitely think about that. That's what, you what you guys got to say about that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the modern day term is they'll leave you hanging. And you know in modern day time, you know, as long as you're with the crowd, as long as everything's running, you know, well and you know, it's looking good, money's good, everything's flowing, you know, people are going to be there. But, you know, you'll find out who's going to be there when the money's run out or the car broke down or you're not feeling well or things aren't good at the job, might not be a job. You know, you find out that the folks that you were hanging with, they was in it when you was in it. And as long as you was, you know, doing their thing and running it their way and things were working their way, it was fine. They will leave you hanging, and then you have to, again, cherish the true folk that are around with you, that are hanging with you, that was there when you didn't have anything, and, you know, they're going to be there when you're on top. And, you know, that's tough as a young man, because you like to be popular, you like to, you know, be with the ladies and the money and the cars, and, you know, you like to be about it, and all these things are attractive, and sometimes people will lead you down the wrong road. And so you have to be very careful to who you throw your hat in, or who you call your boy, or who you gonna hang with, because some folk don't have your best interest at heart, and you don't want to get in a tight situation and look around. And it's like, dang, where'd everybody go? What's up with that? You know. So be careful. Take that wisdom. And be careful who you sit and meet with, who you break bread with, who you talk with, who you share things with, because you can't do that with everybody. So a lot of people talk a good game, talk a whole bunch of trash, and say, yeah, I got you. But when push comes to shove, you know, there's nowhere to be found.
Amen. I definitely agree with that. You know, it also goes to verse 9, which is the next verse. It says, do not speak to fools, for they will scorn you for your prudent words. I think that, you know, talks about how, you know, sometimes those people, you know, I think in certain situations they hate on you because you know more than what they know. You know, sometimes you can be in, like, certain situations where you know something and they don't know, and they're just hating on you. And, you know, sometimes they'll laugh at you. And, you know, sometimes, like in high school or certain situations, you know, everybody gets on the smart kid, and you always get on the person that, you know, asks too many questions. Like, so they're just trying to get their own understanding, but you see it as, oh, man, I'm trying to get out of here. Why do you keep asking questions? Hold on, man. You know, sometimes those people are the ones that come out on top, and, you know, you realize that those were the ones that even some questions that you should have asked. That's the way I think about that verse. What you got to think about that?
Yeah, I definitely think. I think you're right when you're talking about don't speak to a fool, and you have to again allow God to give you discernment of who the fool is, and most of the time the fool will show you just by the stuff he's talking, and you know, guys hang out and, you know, guys, you know, talk and kick it or whatever. But, you know, if you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and the Word of God and the Spirit of God is in you, you know, when people start talking that foolish stuff, you know, that off the wall stuff, you'll know who the fool is, and you'll know not to get caught up in that, and you know, you begin to start telling them things of wisdom, things of God, and, you know, it's like talking to a wall, and like you said, they'll start hating, they'll start disrespecting you, they'll start creating, you know, strife, a lot of drama. So sometimes you just, you know, just be quiet, hold your peace, you know. Sometimes it's better to be, you know, swift to hear and slow to speak. Sometimes you just, like, you know, take it in, realize, you know, the crazy stuff they're spitting is basically just foolishness, and there's no need for you to even respond, because you can tell how deep they are in it, and you can tell, you know, that, you know, whatever you say is really not going to be benefiting the situation. So sometimes it's just best to be quiet, excuse yourself from the situation. So, hey, you know, I got to get out of here, see y'all later. You know, don't get caught up into trying to, you know, spend a lot of time with someone that's going off in Foolishville, in Foolish Land, because it's really not going to help the situation. So you got to pick and choose your battles, pick and choose your conversation, get to a place where you understand the situation, that you understand where God's leading you to say something or God's leading you not to say something, but you don't have to speak on every subject. And you know, that's the wisdom that God has given you to say, hey, this is not the time or the place. No sense in saying this guy, he caught up with all these folks fronting and telling lies and all this stuff, you know, and I don't want to, you know, get involved with this, because it's going to create a lot of drama. So it's best for me to, you know, just keep it moving so that, you know, I won't get waste my time or someone else's time.
Amen, amen. I definitely agree with what you're saying on that one. What I said. Any more callers have any comments? All lines are open. All right, if not, I wanted to ask the question about verses 10 and 9. Can you explain that to us, please?
You talking about 10 and 11? We just covered 9.
Yeah, 10 and 11, I'm sorry.
Okay. It basically is talking about don't compromise and don't exploit the defensive floor, defenseless poor, to renew not the old landmark and enter not in the fields of the fatherless. In other words, don't take advantage of people. You know, a wise teacher will tell you that, you know you're in power or you're in authority, and it comes a lot of responsibility when you're in power and authority, and, you know, don't abuse your power and your authority. You know, for it says, you know, remove not the old landmark. In other words, you know, this is the landmark, and, you know, you have the ability to change the landmark so that you can have more. Don't move that landmark and take away from the poor. There's a certain character as far as being a man of God. You got to have a certain standard, a certain character, that even though you can come up with laws and you can come up with plans to get more for yourself, and know that this fella or these people can't stand up to you, and so now you change the line, move the line, so you can stay in power. It's sort of like during this voting season, during the off voting season, there were people in power in Congress, state congresses, that wanted to change the voting districts so that the people who were more poor, more minorities, wouldn't have proper representation, and so they tried to come up with laws to redistrict voting places, and you know it's not that's not a character. It's not a man of God that has character, and you have to you know, not worry about, you know, what people are going to say. You just have to stand on the wisdom of God and say that's not right, you know, to mess with people who are fatherless or who are poor. And then in verse 11, for their Redeemer is mighty, he shall plead their cause with me. In other words, God's not going to allow this type of behavior to go unchecked. And, you know, it might seem like you're getting ahead. It might seem like you're doing something and getting away with it, but rest assured that it's not pleasing in the sight of God. And, you know, surely God is going to defend their cause. And so that's why we have to have character. That's why we study, you know, the word of God. Wisdom is to build godly character in men and young men so that, you know, we're doing the right thing even when no one's looking. And that speaks to the character somewhere, that you do the things that are pleasing the sight of God even when no one's looking, even though you are in authority and you have the ability to do something. And nobody might see it right now, but God sees it. And so this is what these two verses are talking about. They're talking about, you know, don't take advantage of the poor. Don't take advantage of your power, because in the end, God is going to be the one that's going to be your judge.
Man, I definitely agree with that insight right there. Much needed on that verse. I was talking about, you know, moving that boundary, and you have to know definitely your boundaries with certain people. You know, when you're in power, you definitely have to realize in certain situations what to do. You got to trust, you know, yourself sometimes. So that's what that says right there. So in closing, we want to read verse 12. It says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. I think that verse right there talks about, you know, how even in your heart always yearns for instructions or yearns for something to guide you, you know, how we have the word of God to lead us and how to guide us through certain situations, you know, that's always there. And how it talks about, you know, your ears to the word of knowledge, you know, use your wisdom to know what, to listen sometimes, you know, stop and ask questions to gain that knowledge that you're missing, or if you don't know, you know, don't get scared to ask in certain situations, to ask somebody that has been in that situation that knows. Certain things like that happen all the time where, you know, us having pride and everything, we don't want to ask somebody something. And we don't even want to hear if somebody has to say something, you know, you always want to do it on your own. And sometimes doing it your own way is the right way. But we think it is, you know, we go ahead and do it if we fail, because we don't have the insight or we don't have the instructions to do stuff the right way. That's what I think verse 12 is talking about. You guys have any more comments before we close real quick?
Now, I just wanted to touch a little bit on verses 13 and 14. We're talking about withhold not correction from the child. If you beat him with the rod, he shall not die. And verse 14, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Interesting topic during this day and age where you can't touch kids, you can't discipline them physically. What happens is people tend to think that, you know, that you're just beating somebody and you're disciplining them all the time. But when you are training someone to grow up, to be respectful, to be a man of God, a woman of God, when you're training someone to come to know God, there's certain discipline that has to be done. I mean, you don't like to discipline your child, but if there's a way that you can discipline them and get them to see clearly for their soul, for their career, to keep them from going to jail, keep them from going to hell, the benefits of it outweigh the take back. And so you have to be willing to say, hey, I'm gonna touch them up real quick so they'll understand. And most of the time with people at a young age, if you reach a certain age, even physical discipline is not going to do any good. So if you do something early on when you're training children, then later on you don't have to carry out this discipline. And, you know, it's something that the world is getting further and further away. But I believe the wisdom of early discipline is definitely a benefit. And a lot of people who got it said, you know, it didn't hurt me, it helped me. And help me be the man or the woman of God that I am today because someone cared enough to discipline me.
And then they run those good verses. I'm glad you brought those. Do we close? Any more comments? All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thanks for bringing us all here once again to the first word. Pray that you keep all of us. Pray that something will fit today to touch somebody. Pray that you just help us get through the next weekend. Come back here again and do it again. And learn more about you. And pray that.
Amen.
All right, so next week, first word.